I told Pastor I wasn't going to vamp much because either we will get out of here in 5 minutes or it'll be an hour and a half. So we're going to stick to the notes tonight. But if I had a title for this, I would call it Take No Thought. And I'm not sure if this should be Perfectionism Part 2, but they're definitely related. And it might seem, you know, as I was putting this together and the Lord, I was, you know, thinking and going through the scriptures and, you know, you always think, you know, oh, Lord, how about that? And he's like, no. You keep reading other stuff. Lord, how about that? No. No, stop. Stop doing it for me. Let me show you. So a few days went by and, you know, you kind of start to get that little bit of like, okay, Lord, we're cutting it close. Like, what are we doing? And then you land on it. And he just goes, there it is. Right there. So it may seem simple, but I'll tell you what, it's something that I have definitely been battling, and I think in our current climate, not just the world, but our spiritual state and the coming of the Lord, that this is something that can plague us. So take no thought. So if you would like to be with me tonight, I'll be in Matthew 6. And the portion I would like to read through is several verses, but we'll go through a quick breakdown of a few things. So Matthew 6, and then I'll be starting in verse 19, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, and neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So, it's a lot, but worry. I think it's pretty common for a lot of people, and on a daily basis, sometimes hourly. I think we battle that a lot. But I came across this gem of a passage a few years ago, known it, heard it. Pastor's talked about it a lot. He always talks about the lilies, right? But the Lord really had me dive into this on my own time, and it was precious. So just a little bit of a breakdown. Verse 19, he talks about laying up. Well, that word means to place something in a passive or horizontal posture. And being passive, it means that it's something influenced from, excuse me, an outside source. And I think a lot of people read this and they get the idea that the Lord is only cautioning against an image of a treasure barn that's full of valuables. I don't know many treasures that are full of gold bars and whatnot these days. But in our world, treasure, I think, is anything that is deposited in order to amass or commit or purpose for a later use. And let's get something out of the way. Scripture has nothing against financial investments, saving money, and common sense wisdom in that regard. But treasure is anything or anyone that we value ahead of the Lord. Anything. Doesn't matter what it is. We're talking about our children. I don't have any, but I have a lot that I care for. But our kids, our jobs or our business, our causes that we might be involved in, or family, relationships, our marriage, our ministry, maybe our talents, things that we give to others, etc. It could be anything, anybody. And I think we've all known, I have for sure and still do, Christians that have poured everything of themselves into something or someone, everything they have, against a someday blank. This is what I'm doing this for, right? Or believe that they're accomplishing X for something. And they might fully recognize that it's a blessing from the Lord, but they're a little bit misguided in their management and their attention to it. And what happens when we're faced with an unexpected problem or a departure from this treasure that we have? I'm guilty of this, that we focus more on the interruption to our sense of self-control over it rather than focus on the reason that the Lord has for that interruption or the removal. It's easy to do that. And these things, this interruption, this feeling, can consume a lot of our heart and split our visions and pushes the Lord way out of focus where that thing or that person, that situation is concerned. But if you notice, the Lord says in 19, he's talking about upon earth, it's almost a guarantee right there. It says, upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where. This is guaranteed to happen here in this fallen state that we occupy in this world. Theft will happen. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you guys have had stuff stolen from you, right? Put something away in storage only to discover, oh, we had a flood. Now it's ruined, right? Something has rusted, something has broken down, or, you know, it didn't keep the way you maybe wanted it to, right? Corruption will happen to our possessions and even our relationships in this world. They break down. They're built to do that. And sadly, because we're human, that's just the nature of our relationships. But we are to give these things, these people, these ideas and our thoughts, our causes, our business, our children, whatever it is, to the Lord first. Let him invest it, store it, and then let him build up the treasures of his word in our heart. And then if you see in verse 22, Lord brought out that word, if therefore then I be single, and I was really confused by that, and I looked it up, that word single has to do with being woven together. Unity, simplicity, and I love this, without one's will or without one's will or intervention. That's a single eye. Wow, has nothing to do with me. My vision, single, arrowed in, zeroed in on him. So the Lord would have us with a tightly woven vision on him and singularly purposed. So in that regard, he says in verse 24, Mammon, we can't have it both ways. We can't love those things, those people, those situations, and love him the same, to the same degree. We can't. We can't have it both ways. And the Lord cautioned against worry for these things because it is the seed of doubt and fear. And worry is a very subtle mental state. It always asks, if you look in the scripture, it always asks, what if blank, or how blank? And these questions are often based on our weak flesh and the five senses. Everything he tells us not to look at, not the things of this world, including ourselves, right? And if you're ever curious, I just briefly looked at it. I would study or look up in the concordance the phrases how shall or what shall be. Notice the attitude of the asker. How are they asking the Lord, well, how shall this be? Or what shall be the sign? What are they asking for, and how are they asking it? The way I think about it, that the way Mary answered, well, how shall these things be? She was, I believe, asking in faith. Okay, Lord. All right, how are we going to do this? Right? And then there's so many other examples. Oh, gosh, well, Lord, how are we going to do this? There's a big difference. It's a heart attitude. But our thoughts are delicate, and worrying can creep in. And worry just gets right in there. It edges its way in, especially in this world climate with everything going on around us, but everything going on in our lives too. Even though we know the Lord is in control. It's like we know this, but yet we still worry. We still get concerned. We still get obsessed with this thought over here, and we're just going to meld on this. Oh, yeah, Lord, I know you got it, but I'm just going to hold on to it for just another minute. And I do that all the time. But I just praise the Lord for his grace. If it weren't for him, where would we be? Where would I be? And I told my brother the other day, we were having a beautiful conversation, and I just said, I don't have any other choice but to trust the Lord. I've tried all the other avenues, and I'm not even 40 yet. I've tried everything else. I have no other choice. So I just always think of that too, what the disciples said. Where are we going to go, Lord? To whom shall we go? Right? You have the words of life. So the question is, how do we find a balance of moving forward, planning, occupying as he would have us to, in the uncertainties, the hardships, the inconveniences, and heartbreak in our lives, and manage to keep our hands off the steering wheel? Okay? So let's get to the main thought here. Take no thought. This phrase, the definition of it is literally worry. It means to be anxious or be distracted, to part, I love this, to disunite or to divide your thoughts or to differentiate between something. But the word take, it's talking about to grab hold of something with your hands, to capture it by force or to steal it, to cheat, to occupy it as a military occupation, to ascertain by measurement, to carry or bring it with you, to transport it, or accept it as valid. And there's several others, but I want to clarify something too. This is not talking about disregarding good old everyday wisdom, like I mentioned, either with saving money, having investments, Lord's okay with that, that's totally fine. Brushing your teeth, that's good, sound, everyday wisdom. You should probably do that. Obeying traffic laws, stoplights are there for a reason. Eating decently or taking medication, making sure your kids go to school, getting enough sleep. But believe it or not, and I have come across them, some Christians have a very flippant or cavalier attitude about trusting the Lord. And that's like driving a car and taking your hands off the wheel and going, well, I'm going to trust the Lord to get me there. Oh, my gosh. No, we're not talking about every day. We're not talking about that. What we're talking, this is, and that's a disingenuous attitude as well. You know, just to roll it off the tongue. That's not genuine. But this is about not allowing our minds to go swimming in the ever-present sea of uncertainty. Not to go swimming. Worry separates our thoughts and makes us very sloppy drivers of our actions. I mean, when you're in a hurry and you're running late or you're upset about something, how many good decisions are you going to make right after that? Snowball. One right after another, right? You're rushing out or you're in a hurry or you're worried about something. Next thing you know, you're getting a speeding ticket, right? Then you're in a bad mood, and then you get to wherever you're going, you snap at somebody, whatever it is. It all starts to snowball. We get sloppy. And worry becomes like quicksand. Every movement creates sinkage because it poisons our faith, pollutes it, dilutes it. So the Lord even asked the question right then and there in, right there in 25. He says, is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? That life he's talking about there, yes, is our physical breath, like us living right now. But he's also talking of growing cold or waning love. Isn't the life that you possess inside of you or the fellowship with me more important than even the next meal you're going to put in your body? Sure it is. Absolutely. So I have three little things about taking no thought. First, that means one of the translations of that word is to be careful. We all know the one lady who got in trouble for that, don't we? Martha. In Luke 10, the Lord told her, you're cumbered. Many, many problems, right? That means to drag it all around. What was she doing? The definition of take, she was taking it with her. She was bringing it and carrying it right along. Her worry about what her sister was doing or making the food in the kitchen or making sure the table was set, whatever she was occupied with, Lord's like, oh my goodness, you got a lot going on over there, girl. You know, you need to put that down. So, and that also means to be distracted. But I have found very recently that worry is a very heavy burden. It is not lightweight, any way, shape, or form. I don't care how small of a situation you think you're dealing with or that you're thinking about, it is not a lightweight burden. It's not. And you know, we're told in Hebrews 12 to lay aside every weight. And again, for me personally, I'm a fragile little creature. It can be hour by hour. I have to tell myself, I'm not going to worry about this, Lord. I'm not. If I'm late to work, I'm late to work. It is what it is. Like, was it a wise choice on my part? No. But I'm late. Again. Right? Or, you know, if I didn't, the hairdo didn't work out, or maybe that conversation with that person didn't go as I wanted it to. Right? And I forgot to say that. Right? Can't worry it. Don't worry about it. He just whispers that to me so much recently over so many things. So the first thing is being careful for something. And we'll talk about careful again at the end. But the second part of definition for take no thought is care or cares. So you can make a note if you like or read over. I'd like to jump over to Mark 4 and 18 and 19. The Lord just took me. I just had this hankering to read his words. And that was so good. Not that I don't love our precious brother Paul, but I wanted to read the Lord's words. Mark 4, chapter 4, verse 18, and he's talking about the seeds sown, and he says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. He's talking, that word cares, that's when we get choked by it. And part of that definition of take is consume something. We're just going to take that worry and keep feeding it until we choke on it. It's not a good picture. Not a good picture. The other time he talked about it was in Luke 21 and the 33rd verse. And he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Distractions. The third definition of take no thought that I really stood out to me was divided. And I love this. If this is an encouragement for you, I'm not sure what would be. Back in Matthew 12 and 25 and 26, the Lord talks about how Satan cannot even be divided amongst himself. Satan can't even worry. Otherwise, he fails his mission to lie and steal and kill. If he worries, he can't even do it, right? And you can also note in Mark 3, we can't stand for ourselves, our own home, our own kingdom, whatever it is. We cannot stand divided amongst ourselves, within ourselves. We can't. So the Lord tells us that. Not even Satan can do it. What makes us think we can? Next, back in our text in Mark 6, in 28, consider the lilies. Very simply, the nature of this world, the animals, lilies, birds, it doesn't matter. He says they do not toil. Part of that word toil is means to make more work for ourselves. They don't do that. They don't make work. Like he says, they just are. Pastor has said that so many times. Lilies just are striking, right? Look around in nature. I mean, it's just, they just are. Just beautiful, right? And the birds, they don't worry about where they're going to get their next meal. They just do. They go and find and do and grow and feed their young and move on. They just do. So worrying is work. I'm not interested in any more work, physical, spiritual, or otherwise. Just going to say it. Not interested. But I, you know, the Lord took my mind over to Romans, in Romans 12, when he was, Paul was admonishing, and 12 and verse 3, and I think often we might talk, and pastors mentioned about verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, so this is for us, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And yes, that word highly talks about vanity, right? Talks about pride. But it's also, definition is to exercise the mind. And to entertain or have a sentiment or opinion about something. To be disposed more or less earnestly in a certain direction or intensively. But to set the affection on something. We're not to set our affection on ourselves more than we should. Worrying. But we're called to think soberly. And if you look at that word soberly, part of that has to do with being abundantly. And if you go back to thinking about not taking a thought in that it's divided, when the Lord says in John 10:10 that the enemy came to steal, to kill and to destroy, I came that they might have life more abundantly, more soberly. That's what he came for. And I love that soberly because part of the definition is abundantly or far more exceeding of one mind, not a divided mind, just one. And it also expresses motion. But other times we'll look at different things that are that Paul talked about in so Ephesians 3 in verse 20, he talks about this abundance that the Lord has for us. So Ephesians 3 verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And if you remember, we talked about laying up is a passive thing, being influenced from the outside. This is talking about the power that works in us. Okay? This is it just like, ooh, excited me. Also, 1 Peter 5:7. Hopefully not too bad of a sword drill for you. I don't want to go too fast. But casting all your care, I'm sorry, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That casting, if you look that up, that is a quick, it's almost a violent word. It's like, Lord, get it out of here. Like, I don't want it. I don't want the care. I don't want to carry it. I don't want to drag it around. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want any part of it. It's actually a very active, quick, and deliberate connotation there. And also, we won't go there, but 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, talk about bringing every thought into the captivity of the Lord. Let him take it from you. Let him put his hands around it. Not the taking thought that causes our hands to go around it. Bring it to him. Take that thought and put it into his captivity. His capable hands. And back in our text, moving on, verse 32, the Lord says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows. He knows before we even think it. OK? Because he's already seen our lives. It's a beautiful thing, and it's comforting. It might be scary to some people, but that need is talking about our employment, right? Maybe anything we're engaged in, or in an affair that we're dealing with, or an occasion, or a demand, a requirement, or destitution in business. It's a lack, something that's missing. He knows our needs. And even those wants, that includes our wants. He knows, and he sees every thought before it, again, ever enters this tiny noodle that gets so distracted. He knows it. You may jot down Job 42:2. Job said, I know that no thought can be withheld, held from you. It can't. I can't do it. There's no way. And even the psalmist said in chapter 94, verse 11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. That word vanity means empty. He knows our brains are empty, naturally speaking. He knows it, right? He made us. But because worrying is such an empty state, it requires so much of us to worry about something, even in the slightest degree. It requires more energy than we realize. And it gives us absolutely no progress. If you remember back, that sober mind expresses motion, expresses moving forward with something. This, you know, worrying about need or having a worry period, we get stuck. Again, quicksand. Every movement creates that sinkage and gets you farther and farther down. And I saw a quote the other day that said, no situation was made better by worrying about it. It's not improved in any way. And getting towards the end here in verse 33, we've all read it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Right? I love this. So when we allow our thoughts to have the prefix of his will for our lives, under that, his will, in everything, whomever or whatever it is that we are in need of or concerned about, working through the details on, whatever it may be, will be taken care of. Put it in front of him. And this is so great because that word added, it means to place additionally to something or to put to something, to put in front of or forwards towards. Again, we're talking motion, the Lord reaching to us. He'll put it in front of you. It also has a root word that means to the advantage of something, placed down or established. And what I love this is that the word added has the same root as lay up. He is going to lay up the treasures. He will add to us, not in a passive way. We're going to store it just for later and just put it over here and not worry about it. This is, again, acting on it because of an outside force telling you, oh, you should do this, right? Worry. It's an active thing from inside that he's adding to us, building up to the advantage of. So I love that. It's so beautiful. It's the same root as layup. So great. So when he's the forefront of every thought, desire, our possession, our relationship, a goal we might have, he creates, gives, and stores up the treasure in and for our lives. And like I said, this is an active process, not a passive one. Lastly, two more scriptures. Turn to chapter 14 of Matthew. And I love this. So this is when the 5,000 are coming to hear the Lord speak. And the disciples are like, oh my gosh, how are we going to feed all these people? Right? They ask again, how are we going to do this? This isn't, I think one of the other gospels talks about what they asked him. But Jesus said, they don't have to go away. Give them something to eat. I'm like, is this strange to you? Let's feed these people. And they say unto him, but we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Like, that's another way of saying, how are we going to do this? Like, Lord, a little short, just a little bit. And I love this. He says, bring them to me. That is where the multiplication came from. From him, bring it to me. I'll do it. And they had leftovers. I was thinking about that. It was like we had a precious little Thanksgiving lunch today at my work. It was a sweet little potluck. And there's so much food, always, right? It's like, where did all this extra food come from? And you do, and you sit there, and the Lord told me, he's like, that's what I did. There were so many people, and our boss, the manager of the branch, was concerned we weren't going to have enough food for the 40 people in the building. And I said, oh, you just wait. There's plenty of food for everybody. But that's what he does. He says, bring them to me. He blessed it, and he did it. He fed everybody with, I think it was 12 baskets left over. That's impressive. That's multiplication for you. And I just, so precious. So lastly, in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, and Philippians, such a little book, I almost skip over it every time I turn to it. We love it, and I love that my mom quotes this a lot at home when she's dealing with something. But the Lord says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, here's the key, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Gratitude. Remember the giver, not the gift. Remember the supplier, the creator, the one who does it all. Not the thing, not the person, right? The situation that might have been created, even through your own fault. The giver, the solver, the healer, the restorer. Remember him first. Thank him for that separation, that interruption to whatever that might be. Give it to him. Let him take it and create something beautiful in you. So precious. I love that. And we'll finish with this. And the peace of God. This is an and. This is added to. This is what the Lord lays up in this whole process. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace that passeth, that means it's holding itself above your situation. It means to excel, that it's superior to everything. It's better. Excellency. It's supreme. I love that. That peace will just pass over everything. Coat it. I think of coating it with like sugar. He's just going to put a nice little glaze all over whatever you're dealing with. That peace in the midst of that worry, in that quicksand. Just hold still. He's going to come along with the thing to pull you out or give you the grace to sit there in that quicksand. There's no need to worry. He is not going to let us sink. He's not. He's going to work it. So, and another precious thing, I love the fellowship I have with my mama, but she sent me this precious quote today, and it was by Corrie Ten Boom. And she says, worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days at once. It's moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Praise the Lord. Hope it's been a blessing to you. Let's stand and be dismissed.